Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The John Daniels Show is brought to you by Evan Williams Bourbon and BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Baseball time, turn on the fan. JD's coming on, he's a baseball man. I gotta get the scoop before I drive home from the kid from Queens calling Arlington home. Car pulls up, who can it be? A fresh El Camino, it's Matt Levine. He rolls down his window and he started to say, it's all about making that kick-ass trade.
Yes, joining us now is the GM of the Texas Rangers, who are 2-1, John J.D. Daniels. How you doing, J.D.?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you guys?
Shocked that we were able to get you to do this one more year, but we're grateful. We certainly always appreciate our visits with you, and you always make yourself available in good times and bad. You're always there, so thanks, and we're looking forward to this once again. And let's jump off with your team, who is on a tear to begin, jumping out against a really good team and leaving with a 2-1 record in the series. What was your most positive takeaway from the weekend series against the Cubs?
Just the overall energy and vibe in the dugout and from the guys. And it was a continuation of what we saw all spring. I mean, the offensive approach was awesome. But some of the quotes from the players, Joey stood out to me on Saturday night, his post game with Emily. Some of Elvis's quotes yesterday, Maz. They were really just a continuation of spring training, and which was good to see. You know, we had such a good camp from a standpoint of guys buying into what we're trying to do, pushing each other, you know, Woody and the staff and their messaging, and the players just really seeming to lock in. But that's spring training, you know, and you want to see it carry out into the season. We had not a great game on opening day, and then to come right back out and come back twice against, you know, an outstanding club with the Cubs, and the way we did it, just the resiliency, that was a lot of fun to watch.
Do you think, John, that it mattered to the guys in the clubhouse that they were going against you and going against Cole? I'm not asking from like a standpoint of, I don't like these guys, but just from the standpoint of, you know, they represented a different era of the Rangers. And a lot of those guys, you know, in talking to them, sometimes it feels like they feel like they're being doubted and things like that. Did going up against two guys that a lot of them recognized, or did that have any extra weight, do you think?
I don't know, honestly. I mean, these guys are like very competitive, and so I'm sure, like, you know, from knowing these guys so well, they wanted to beat them. I think the doubting piece of it, just in general, not so much with Cole or Darvish, but I think just, you know, being doubted and being counted out, and then going against, you know, the Cubs, one of the, you know, top clubs the last few years, that piece I think was meaningful. I think these guys did take a lot of pride in going out there and, you know, matching, you know, one of the best offenses in the game, inning for inning. And so that part was a lot of fun.
So let's talk a little bit about the offensive approach of these guys. And there seems to be a lot of really cool talk about the process. And I know we've joked about that with regard to football before, but it's so true. This idea that it's really about a process. So it's not necessarily the results, it's the work you put in. And are you seeing that? You mentioned the guys are buying in, and you're seeing that with regard to a mindset. Are you seeing guys buy in offensively to the approach that you'd like to see them take?
Yeah, I think so. What you mean by process is basically controlling the things that we can control, right? And baseball, there's so many. Is the umpire going to call a strike? What is the pitcher going to do? How's the ball going to bounce? And you know, what are the defenders going to choose to do? And you know, the defensive positioning. I mean, there's so many things, the ballpark, the weather, there's so many things that affect the outcome that are out of your control. But, you know, the things that are within your control, you know, what can we do there? And you know, we've got a really talented group. And, you know, we've kind of long had a reputation for, I mean, not just this group, but for, you know, probably a couple decades of, you know, really like powerful offense that, you know, you can beat by, you know, making them chase and kind of expanding their zone and getting out of their strike zone. And it's only been a couple games, but it's carried over from spring training. The guys have really worked hard on, you know, trying to be really stubborn about that and not, you know, not giving in and to constantly battle and to be a tough out. And I think you saw it yesterday. I mean, the Delino Grand Slam, you know, tremendous job at hitting on his part. But I think what a lot of set that up was, you know, Mathis and Forsythe were just had great at bats, you know, and I mean, there might've been a borderline pitch in there that you could argue could go either way, but these guys didn't give in. They didn't, you know, swing at Cole's pitch on the fringes of the strike zone. They kind of battled and battled, and next thing you know, Delino's up and he delivered. And that's kind of what we're talking about from the process standpoint. It's just not giving in, being really stubborn, and, you know, trying to – some of the issues we've had in the past of chasing balls out of the zone, like I think our guys are trying to clean that up a little bit.
Is there going to be a point in the season where you're going to feel good that that's – I mean, it's three games, right? And a lot of times when things aren't going well, guys go back to their base instincts. But will there be a point in the season where if it continues the way it's continuing, you're going to feel like, man, this thing is going the way it's supposed to be going?
Yeah, I mean, the way that they're talking right now, not just on the field, but the types of pregame meetings and the discussion that's going on right now and the understanding of what they want to do makes me feel that way, honestly. Like, it's three games in, you don't want to get crazy, but I don't think it was just that, you know, kind of the luck kind of fell on our side here. I think that they're showing the signs of buying in. You're right, this kind of, I mean, when we lose a few in a row or when we face a really dominant pitcher or, you know, when we, you know, a guy strikes out on a borderline pitch, takes it, you know, takes a strike three and, you know, arguably could have swung there. I mean, will the mindset stay the same? I'm betting yes, you know, based on what I've seen and how diligent the staff and the players are in being reinforcing the message. But yeah, you're right. We're going to have to see it.
You know, in terms of reinforcing the message and having the right mindset and making those adjustments as an organization, the front office has done a lot of that too. Just it seems like it's organizational, like it's organization wide. You guys took a huge look in the mirror. I've read several stories about that. How comprehensive were the adjustments that you guys have made just as an overall organization?
But I think the biggest thing, and it's the same with what our players going through, I give them a ton of credit for saying, you know what, like we want to get better, you know, and then we can get better. And you know, it's not a flaw to acknowledge that, you know, you need to improve. If anything, it's the opposite, right? It's a really positive trait. I think the flaw would be if you know you need to improve and you don't do anything about it. And so I think that's what we're just right in the middle of as an organization. And it's got to be like never ending. I don't think there's a finish line. And kind of the same to Skin's question about the club. I don't think there's a finish line with when you're making these kind of changes. But as soon as you're kind of there, it's like, all right, now what else can we improve? And that's what we're doing organizationally. Is we can definitely get better in some areas. There are a lot of things that we're really proud of that we're good at and that we performed in. But you know, overall, and what can we do better? And I really give our people, our scouts out in the field, our analysts, people in the front office, development staff, a ton of credit for embracing that change and not being scared by it.
Talking to John Daniels here on the Ben and Skin Show. I think for me, and I was traveling this weekend, so watching from afar, but everything that I saw online and the people that I was with and talking to was this idea of fun. Like it just seemed like there was a heck of a lot of fun Saturday and Sunday, and let's face it, Thursday wasn't fun. So what I'm curious about, and sometimes you can tell us he's saying sometimes you can't, but what were your discussions like with Woody after that first game? Is that something you can get into with us, like what you guys kind of talked about, what had happened?
Thursday?
Yes.
After opening day?
Yes.
It came down after the game and hung out with the staff, kind of normal routine, check in with the medical staff, make sure everything was good there. We just kind of, you know, generally debriefed. It was kind of our first time really doing it, you know.
Right.
So I think trying to figure out what our, you know, post game is going to be like, and it'll vary. But we talked about some of the kind of key moments in the game. We talked a little bit about, you know, the bullpen and kind of the options there and decisions and things of that nature. But not. And it was more. There were a few other people there. It was more like Woody kind of throwing it out. Hey, what'd you guys think about this? What'd you think about that? And it was generally light, honestly. I mean, it's one game out of 162. I think it gets kind of blown out of proportion for a couple of reasons. One, because it's opening day, it's a sellout crowd, there's a ton of eyes on it. And also, we had an off day the next day. So you're either 1-0 or 0-1. You know, either everything's great or the world's coming to an end for 48 hours. And, you know, but I thought he had pretty good perspective. And, you know, I wanted to make sure he knew, like I recognize it's just it was one game and, you know, ready to go the next day.
Man, I can't. It's weird. One of my favorite things already early on in the season is watching Jeff Mathis, just watching the way he plays, watching the way he receives and frames pitches, and it's mesmerizing. He's so freaking good at it, and I think it's going to be one of the most undersung free agent moves of the offseason, but, man, he just seems to make every pitcher better, and I'm just curious about your thoughts on the job he's has already done and just why he's important to the squad.
Well, we really want to prioritize that, the defense behind the plate. And he's above average defender in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, he throws well, he frames exceptionally well, and he's really, you know, he blocks very well. And maybe most importantly, he's got a really good feel for pitchers, kind of trying to help him execute a game plan. And that was going to be big for us this year. First part of the season, for sure. And then at some point, we'll probably have some younger guys up here and thought what better of a guy could there be to have help them get acclimated than Jeff. And then on top of those young pitchers, you know, our young catchers too, with Kiner and, you know, Trevino, if he gets some time up here, he's just a really good fit for what we wanted to accomplish.
John, there's obviously a lot of chatter about Chu not being in the lineup on opening day, and yesterday Woody even answered some questions about a quote-unquote DH platoon. How did you feel about the way that that had gone down on Thursday and throughout the weekend, and what was your perception of it?
You know, I give both Woody and Chu credit. I think Woody, you know, kind of laid it out, talked to Chu. You always hear from players like, hey, like, whatever the decision is, that's fine. Just let me know. I just want to understand. And I think Woody, you know, handled it well there, talking to Chu, kind of explaining it. And you know, listen, all of our guys are going to sit at some point. Some are going to sit more than others. You know, that's just the nature of how it goes. But I thought to have, you know, one of the more senior guys sit on opening day and then to come back the next game, get, like, you know, a huge knock there, you know, late in the game, off a left-hander, and then the next day pinch hit, come in off the bench, move a runner that, you know, put Joey in on third base and ultimately score the winning run. You know, listen, I know Chu wants to play. Ultimately, he was professional. He was ready to go. And I think that's really the message to everybody. It's like, it's going to take all of us. It's going to take everybody involved. And everybody at some point is going to have to make some level of personal sacrifice for the good of the team. You know, and to Chu's credit, like, he did. He came back late in the game. He was ready in both those games. And, you know, he's in the lineup today. So that's what it's going to take. It's going to take that kind of mindset, everybody buying in and wanting to do what's best for the club.
All right, last question here. Obviously, the last season at Globe Life Park, a lot of sentimental value there. It's been an incredible park, and the greatest era in the history of Texas Rangers baseball has taken place in that building. And obviously, there's a year to finish things there. But is it hard for you to focus on that when you look right across and you've got this amazing new ballpark being constructed, and you'll be able to move into there with air conditioning next season? I'm just curious about if you've found yourself looking over there and dreaming a little bit about what that's going to be like.
For the first time I did, when we get back from spring training, and there's some brick up on some of the columns, and you know, now it actually kind of looks a little like a ballpark, you know, instead of just a construction site. But, you know, day to day, really don't think too much about it. I mean, our guys, Rob Matwick and his team, are killing it over there, and things going up in record time. It's gonna be awesome. And, you know, once we get to, I think, the winter, and we're starting to move in a little bit and maybe making some of the final calls on, you know, kind of the little details, like, it'll start to feel real. Right now I think it's just so much going on otherwise that you know, really doesn't occupy too much of our time.
John, thank you so much for the first one of the year. We'll talk to you again next Monday, brother.
All right, guys, thank you.
Boom. There he goes, John Daniels, GM of the Texas Rangers. I'm so happy we're 2-1 and have that to talk about.
I know. And are you guys thinking about that new stadium at all?
I am.
I'm really distracted by it. I cannot wait for that. It's going to be baseball paradise.
Dude, we're going to be at Texas Live on Wednesday, and we're going to be so distracted by that. Thank you to John. It's the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.